Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Good morning to all campuses. Good morning, Faith Church. Welcome. Oh yeah, it's the sainted daylight savings time weekend. Let me give you another chance. Good morning, Faith Church. You're in the house of God. And that was all my, we had our second cup of coffee, people. Hey, we are in March Madness, which means we're playing a little basketball this weekend. Y'all want to see me spin this on my finger? Okay, ready? Yeah, I want to see me spin it on my finger too, not just you. We're getting ready to get our head in the game. So I don't know what campus you're at right now, but I want to ask you, are you ready to get your head in the game of faith? Yeah. Like, you got faith? Yeah. Do you have enough faith to believe that I did play basketball at one point in my life? Yeah. I know, I'm almost 6 feet tall. Of course you believe that. But do you want picture proof of me in the 90s? Yeah. Okay, 80s, actually. With big hair. Do you want to, are you going to make me show you this? Yeah. Okay, guys, whip out the proof. Yeah. There you go. I don't know what I was thinking with the dark on top, light on the sides. I think that was the fact that I was a teenager and couldn't afford the $8 for the sun in. And I think we have a group shot, me in with the rest of the, there we go. Can you find me in the picture? Look for the tall chick. No, I got proof, right? Sometimes we need to see stuff with our eyes. I know Jeff Martin's back there. He went to high school with me. He remembers those days. Forget them as quickly as you can, sir. They are not the good ones. I hid most of those pictures. Sometimes you need to see stuff with your eyes, don't you? I mean, you want some proof. You want to know what's going on. Who's got their head in the game? I'm going to throw them a basketball. Head in the game. That's what I'm talking about. You can only trust me with that thing for so long. Eventually, it's going to get out of hand, and it's just going to go crazy. But I'm ready for some faith. And you know what? We are a faith church. And if we're going to get our head in the game of something, we might as well get our head in the game of faith. But to do that, we got to know what faith is. How many of you want to know what faith is? Say me.
Me.
How many of you know what faith is? Like, without a doubt, if I had you come up here, you're ready to just, like, talk about it. Say me.
Me.
So, I mean, there's some room for us, right? There's some room for us to get up here and think about, what is faith? What does God want to do with my faith? And how do I use faith? So that's what we're going to do. We are going to answer questions about faith today so that we can use our faith at a deeper level. Because I'm here to tell you, like, we should all be in a fight of faith. We should all be believing for something bigger than what we are. So if we're going to fight for something, if we're going to do something, if we're going to achieve something, if we're going to break something through, if we're going to receive something, if we're going to bless somebody, we got to be in the game of faith. Are you ready to get in the game?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 for my note takers. What is faith and when is faith? Well, the very first word of that scripture, if they put it up on the screens for me, it says now faith. So faith is when, faith is
now.
Come on, Weldon. Faith is
now.
Faith is now. That's when faith is. So now faith is, so here's our definition, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I be honest with y'all? When I read that looking for the definition of faith, I went, that's beautiful. I love those words. I'm not sure if I know what that means. Right? I mean, that's a great definition, but like, what does it really mean? Can we press pause on this and tell a story real quick? Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so back in the day, like, how did I even get in ministry? Well, it kind of came up and surprised me a little bit. I knew I was supposed to talk to people. I thought it was in high schools because I came out of a bad marriage. I never used drugs ever, but somehow drugs ruined my life. And I'm like, Mom, I'm supposed to talk to people and help them not live this life that I lived and so they can miss these potholes. And she said, great, and I didn't know what to do with that. Then life happened, and I married this guy. His name is David Crank. He is cute. He was a worship leader, assistant pastor at his dad's church of 180 people, and We were actually getting ready to get married. I was in the corporate world. And y'all, I was doing pretty good. Will you not be mad at me if I was doing okay in the corporate world? Like, this was back in the 90s, and some months, don't tell anybody, I brought home 6 figures a month. Like, God was blessing me. And I was getting ready to marry this guy, and y'all, I was chilling like a villain. I had a 4-year-old Chrysler LeBaron. Oh, your girl was good. Yeah, I lived in an apartment off of Big Bend. Yeah, I didn't look cool at all. So when I told David, I need to talk to you about money, he said, oh, single mom. I bet you have student loans. I bet you have money problems. I bet you got stuff going on. It's okay. I'll take care of you. I said, actually, that's not the conversation I wanted to have. I have this good job and I make some money, so I just wanted to let you know that I am a tither and that's a non-negotiable for me. And he's like, well, my dad's a pastor. He's going to love that. Awesome. I tithe. Same page. Why is this a conversation? And I said, well, because I didn't tell you about my money. I kind of sometimes make a lot of it. And so my tithe checks are kind of big sometimes. You don't have a problem with me writing the church a check for $10,000, do you? And he said, baby, I love you. We don't need a prenup. I mean, we're in this together. Right? I don't say that to impress you. I say that to set up the next part of the story. You see, if you're a note taker, I want you to write down these few words. With God, it's never for less. It's always for more. Because he asks something next. So I'm doing this job. We're working and we're having a good time together. We are married. We're living the life. We're building stuff. We bought a property. We're developing it. And all of a sudden, I have this lack of peace. And this lack of peace was telling me, you have to quit your job. To which I said, get thee behind me, Satan. Except for he wasn't back there. All I saw was Jesus. So I eventually went to David and I said, hey, babe, here's the deal. And I know he's sitting there on the front row at Ferguson Florissant campus right now. Baby, you cute. I'm going to see you in just a little bit. Mama's going to cook for you. And by that, I mean, I'm going to make some great reservations. So I went to David finally and I said, hey, here's the deal. I think God's telling me to quit my job. And he said, I've been waiting for you to come to me. God told me that too. Wow. Yeah. Which you're thinking, well, that's awesome because you're going to get this new, awesome, better job. No, God told me to quit my job and go volunteer full-time at his daddy's church. Wow. They couldn't afford to pay me. And so for the next 4 years, we shopped at yard sales, kept our money in the bank, and we just worked for Jesus and got paid nothing. Wait. Was it really for nothing? Because we took a step of faith, and with God, it's never for less, it's always for more. That's good. I'm getting somewhere. You see, it was about 4 years later, all of a sudden, his daddy, without permission, took an express train to heaven. And we were sitting there going, what in the world just happened? How are we gonna be here for these people? What are we gonna do? How are we gonna serve this church? We're not equipped and prepared for this. It took me about 5 years to realize God had sat me on the front row of Bible school for 4 years, getting in the background, figuring out how it runs, figuring out what you have to do for the people, and figuring out how to run a church. God didn't ask me to step down. God asked me to prepare for the future that he had for me. Come on, somebody. Praise God for the fact that he goes out before us. So then here we are, and I don't know if y'all know the church history. I'll give it to you in 27 seconds flat. Here we are. It's 2004 when we become pastors. 2005, we get a vision. We got the same 180 people that we start with, which we were really excited about. We went on TV. We started rolling up our sleeves, losing the jacket, ditching the tie, painting the walls. 2007, we had 2,000 people. A year later, oh, no, wait, no, don't even clap now because it gets better. I'm telling you, God is setting you up for more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Just watch what God does. In 2008, he asked us to go multi-campus, and we don't know what that is. We just know that we're leveraging, mortgaging everything we own to buy a building. And that next year, we grew 103%, growing, reaching people for Jesus. We fill up fitting too much. 2011, we buy this building. We tear it apart. We add on to it. that we move in and we have a service with Joel Osteen in 2013, which is when we started the Weldon Spring campus in a high school, which is the first time we went to Florida because God was telling us to start a campus. Wait, there's more. He gives us a building in 2014 in Weldon Spring. We start services every Sunday 2015 in Florida. We buy a building in Ferguson, Florida, in an answer to Michael Brown and the riots that were happening. We figure we'd go plant some more love. Then we go ahead, we hit COVID. We start a chapel campus in Florida right now. I see y'all at Royal Palm just shouting and cheering because God's good to you. And then here we are again going to Fairview Heights. I'm here telling you, God is so big. Well, Pastor, that's awesome, but I don't know what to do by faith. Well, let's go figure out, why do we need faith? Well, Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace through
faith.
Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we walk by
faith
and not by sight. So we're saved by faith. We walk by faith. Well, Romans 1:17, it says the just shall live by
faith. So
we live by faith, okay. Well, James 5:15 says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. So we pray by faith, but then we'll save the sick. Faith will save the sick. That means that we're healed by faith? Well, yeah, Mark 10:52 said, when Jesus prayed for the woman with the issue of blood, he said, your faith made you whole. So we're healed by faith. So we walk by faith. We talk by faith. We live by faith. We receive by faith. We pray by faith. We're saved by faith. Can you see you need faith for every area of your life? Woo! So what is faith? Well, let's break it down again. Go to Hebrews 11:1, but we're going to go in the Amplified Version. What is the Amplified Version? It's a translation. Let me ask you a question. Did you know that the Bible was not written in English? It was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. So they had to translate it into English. And I didn't even really realize that until I tried to learn Spanish. And tu pastora hablo un poquito español. Yo estudio español, pero mi español es muy mal. What did I say? Your pastor speaks a little bit of Spanish. I'm trying to learn Spanish, but my Spanish is very sick. It's just very sick. And what I'm learning about translation is there's more than one word for each word. So if I want to say, my husband is a little bit cute, mi esposo es un poquito guapo, sí. I say with my Latino spin, right? No, I can't say un poquito guapo because I would say he's a little girly cute. How many of you know Pastor David would not fly for that? Because the word for little in Spanish is poco. Poquino, pequeña, poquito, poquita, many words for little, but in English we just say little. Well, that's how the Bible is. They wrote this word in the original language, and so in English they're like, what's the best word for little here? And then they're like, maybe we can expand it a little bit to explain the original language better. So why are there different translations of the Bible? The Amplified uses more words to try and explain the original language better. So do you want a better understanding of faith? All campuses?
Yes.
Okay, so a better understanding of faith. It says, now faith. So which gives us the same when. When is faith?
Now.
Now faith is the assurance. They went ahead and expanded that and it said, it's the title deed. It is the confirmation.
Good.
Y'all, your girl got her first car. It was a Ford Escort. Escort? Escort. Maybe I wore a skirt in the escort. Who knows? It was a tan, which makes it even cooler. Ford Escort. It was 10 years old. It was manual transmission. And it was $600. Y'all, I had to mortgage $600 for a car. But when I paid off my $600, the state of Missouri sent me this little green piece of paper. It was the title deed. It was the confirmation that this car is mine and no bank has ever taken this car, this 10-year-old Escort with 100,000 miles on it. Proud owner right here, baby. What is faith? Faith is your title deed. It's your confirmation. It's my confirmation of what? Let's find that out. And rest assured, though, it says that it's your assurance, not your insurance. Because assurance is what we have of the Lord. Insurance is what we fall back on. right? You have insurance at work just in case. We don't have faith just in case. We live by faith. Can I get an amen? So if we're living by faith, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. What is our hope? It is a divine guarantee. Y'all, we need to know the promises of God. You need to know what your contract says. You know what? Don't mess with me when it comes to a contract, because I am a nerd. Yo soy la nerda. I am a nerd, and I will read the contract, and I will tear it apart, and I will know what is due, when is due, why it's due, and what is due me. And I'm here to tell you, if you open up the Word of God, you will know that I am healed, I am whole, I am forgiven, I am restored, I am redeemed. It doesn't matter what happened to me. It matters what God is for me. And if my God is for me, nobody can be against me. Anything can come against me. The gates of hell can come against me, but the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the church ain't a body. The church is right here. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Can somebody give God a good amen? Ferguson Forrester, you better shout. Woo! Sorry, sometimes I like to preach. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hope for, divinely guaranteed, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what does that mean? It says in the evidence of things not seen, it talks about this. It talks about it is the conviction of our reality. Faith comprehends. Faith comprehends. It doesn't comprehend with our brain. It comprehends with our spirit. Faith comprehends what cannot be experienced by the five physical senses. If you can taste it, touch it, smell it, hear it, see it. I had to think about what the other sense was. If you can tangibly get to it in any way, it doesn't require faith. Faith is going to ask you to do crazy things. Turn to your neighbor and tell them she's asking you to do crazy things. Yeah, no, seriously, God is going to ask you to do crazy things. And if you're not doing something crazy, you're not pleasing the Lord. How can you say that so confident like that? Well, here, let me explain it to you. Because in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you can do it, you're not in faith, you're in confidence in yourself. And God didn't ask you to be confident in you. I mean, let's be honest with y'all. God can't trust us. We haven't even invited anybody to Easter service yet. God's like, I sent my son, he died once a year. You really need to invite your lost people, they're expecting it. Why haven't you invited anybody to church? Why haven't you invited anybody to the women's event on Thursday night? What's wrong with you people? And we're like, oh God, I'm gonna get around to that. And then the day shows up, we show up and we're like, oh, I forgot. I meant to, I was gonna. Anybody ever done that? Come on, join me here. I meant to a lot of times. So we need to act in crazy faith. Everybody say crazy faith. So Tim and Heather Hawkins go to our church. They go to the Weldon Spring campus a lot. And, you know, they are really great people. Y'all know Tim Hawkins, the Christian comedian? So they took us out to dinner one night in 2019. They took us to a steak dinner because I guess comedians can afford steak. Worked out for us. So we were eating, and they were like, hey, so we just wanted to share with you guys. The Lord spoke to us something, and we're going to come off the road in 2020. We're taking a sabbatical. It might be forever, but it's definitely for a year. We're not booking any more shows. Y'all, Tim is on the road 300 nights a year. There's like 10 people that work with him. Like, we're like, Tim, what are these 10 people going to do? Are you going to still pay them? How are you going to pay your bills? They're like, we're selling the bus. It's just an act of faith. God told us to do it. Y'all, we left dinner afraid that they were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We were like, gosh, what are they going to do? How are they going to pay their bills? What's going to happen? And we need to pray for them. So we're like praying for Tim and Heather. And, you know, 6 months or something goes by, and I think it might have been this weekend in 2020. The world shut down. Events shut down, churches shut down, comedy shows shut down, and suddenly nobody was doing anything. It was probably 6 months after that we got together with Tim and Heather. We ate. I think this time we had McDonald's. Yeah. And we were eating, and they were telling us, you know, God is the craziest thing. They said, you know, if we would not have canceled all of our shows for 2020, we would have sold tickets. People would have paid us the money. We would have spent the money on renting venues. People would have wanted their ticket sale money back, and we would not have had it. We would have ended up bankrupt and with a bad reputation. Come on, somebody. But when Jesus tells you to do something crazy, see if you can remember this statement, it's never for less, it's always for more. God never wants to take anything from you. He wants to give stuff to you. And here's the crazy thing. We were singing that song earlier. I loved it. It says, I don't remember the name. Worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. Worthy of all things. However it goes, you're worthy of it all. And we're singing that. And we meet it at the time. But my hard question today is, because how many of you want to come to church and you want to leave with a challenge? Something you can do. Something you can bite into. A way you can improve. Here's my challenge for the day. When we tell God you're worthy of it all, do we mean that he's worthy of our trust? You're worthy of it all, God, but I don't trust you because, like, you're probably going to ask me to tithe or serve or something because there's levels of faith, you guys. There's levels of faith, and God wants us to do more. Everybody say more.
More.
We get saved by faith, right? So it takes one level to get saved, and you're not going to hell anymore, and that is amazing, especially if you've ever seen hell or been in a house that was too hot for an hour. Right, you don't want to go to hell. So you got saved, and okay, this is wonderful. But there's another level of faith. Everybody say, there's more.
There's more.
There's more. So like when you start tithing and trusting God with your provision, when you start serving and trusting God with your time, when you start inviting people to church and trusting God with other people's eternities, when you go to growth track and invest yourself in becoming better and closer to God, when you get in the circle of friends, when you pray on Thursday mornings on Wake, Pray, Slay, you get closer to God. There's more. Everybody say more.
More.
But then there's another level. That's that crazy level. That's that insane level I was talking about. That's Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's Tim Hawkins stuff. That's if God asks you to do something crazy, I want to ask you right now. Hold on, I need to go over here. I want to look at everybody's eyes. I need to ask you right now, if God asks you to do something crazy, are you going to step out? And are you going to believe him on a more kind of faith level? Or are you going to be left wondering, what if I had obeyed God? What if I would have trusted him? I mean, I landed here, but what if he was above and beyond my wildest dreams? What if he really wanted to do that thing in me that I wanted done? What if God wanted to heal me? What if God wanted to open that up for me? What if God wanted to give me that relationship? What if God wanted to give me that business? What if God wanted to use my influence? What if God wanted to promote me? What if God wanted me to write that book or make that film or run for that office? I'm here to tell you, what if we lived in the what if as if it was real? Our title deed, our confirmation, our divine guarantee that God is better than we can ask, think, or imagine. Do you believe he's that good today? Say, I believe. I believe there's more. Well, let's talk about more for a minute. There's more. How many believe there is some in this cup? You believe, like, that's like get saved faith. Do you see there's some water in this cup? What if water was faith? Do you believe there's room for more? Should I put more in here? Okay, so there's my tithing more, and there's my serving more, and there's my praying every day more. Do you believe there's more?
Yeah.
I can put more in here.
Sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's inviting people to church more, there's growth track more, there's wake, pray, slay more, there's circle of friends more. Do you believe I can fit more in that cup?
Yeah.
More?
God,
you really are testing me at this point. You said more, so, okay. God, I think I'm full. I don't think I can do anything else. Do you think God wants to put more in?
Yes.
Should I put more in?
Yes.
What if it gets messy?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Just do more?
Yes.
So if I put more in here, okay, wet, make it a mess. How many of you believe that's how God wants you to live? I think that's how God wants us to live, but what if God's idea of it is even more than that?
Yeah.
And he says, no, I'm way more. I'm not what you can fit in you more. It's what you can fit in me more. And when we get in God, we can't even see us anymore because we're too busy seeing him. We factored us out of the picture. pastor. He's like, you're trying to wade an ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. God says, I want you swimming in a faith that makes you crazy. Is anybody ready for more? Woo! Y'all, and nobody ever gets there. We never get there. We never arrive in faith. Not even Peter. It's in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, here they are. These 12 dudes, they are with Jesus all the time. And they're with him. They're watching him multiply loaves and feed 5,000 and heal the sick and heal the crippled man. And they're like, what is going on? Jesus gives them one little promise. Y'all get in the boat, go to the other side. I'll meet y'all later. I'm going to pray. We have a way of reading the Bible and treating everything casually as if it's not to us. There's promises in there, and they missed one. So they got in the boat, they headed to the other side, and it got super stormy, and they got all freaked out. Jesus, he is not freaked out. This very water that they're all afraid of, that they think they're going to drown in, Jesus comes out and walks on because he's bigger than the problem, no matter what the problem is and how impossible it is to get on top of it. So he just shows them, I can get on top of your problem. And he starts walking out on the water. And he walks on the water, they're freaking out. Ooh, is there a ghost? Is that a ghost? Jesus is like, bro, I've been traveling with you for years. Do you not know me? He's like, don't be afraid, guys. It's me. And they said, oh, Jesus, if it's you, actually, they didn't say it, just Peter. He said, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Some of you guys might be thinking right now, okay, here's the deal. God, I know you've been stirring some stuff like do this or do that, and I don't want to, but you're stirring on the inside of me. And if it's you, bid me come out on the water. You ever prayed a prayer and asked God, God, if this is you, I need you to send me 5 blue cars in the row with no red car, 2 turtle doves, a partridge in a pear tree in that order. And if that happens, I'll do it. But if that doesn't happen, then I'm out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Peter said, if you ask me to come out on the water, and he stepped out. And then he began to sink. I'm here to tell you, when you step out, you might begin to sink, but don't turn back. Be like Peter. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus was there. And he said, why did you doubt? You had it, man. You were on the water. Why did you start to sink? P.S. Peter didn't sink. He just started. You might be thinking today, I feel like I'm sinking. And Jesus says, you're just starting. Don't give up. I've got you. And you never reach the end of this destination. Faith is not destination. Faith is a journey. And it's a journey that I am on. Can I tell you in my last 3 minutes together of a faith journey that I just crossed this little hurdle and then I'm on to my next one? So God gave me this TV show and we're lucky to be on. And we're on in 5 continents, y'all. Freaks me out. God just keeps providing. And that's what Circle of Friends does, that's what book sales does, that's what these conferences does, and that's what helping the TV show, that's what all that does. And the church doesn't fund it, all of that funds it. So I have to use my active faith. Come on, God, tell me what to do. Bring it in, Jesus. I believe you, I receive you, I'm stepping out on the water. And I know he told me, go on 2 secular TV stations and reach the lost people. And then go on another major Christian station, and I'm like, Jesus, that is a lot of money because they don't pay girls like me to be on TV. I gotta pay a lot of money. And he said, no, do it. And so I believe in writing down goals, and that's why I wrote the book on goals. Why? Because it takes things out of the unseen as a step of faith. Because in James 2, it says, faith without works is dead. So it's time you do something, y'all. This is what I want you to do today. Before the day is over, I want you to sit down and I want you to write down 10 goals. Birth that thing out of the unseen and put it into the scene. And I wrote it down that I was gonna do it. I talked to my husband about it and he said, it's time. I said, okay, Jesus. Met with a media buyer. He gave me the prices. He gave me the contracts. I freaked out. I didn't have the money. I signed the contracts. Y'all, this could sink the whole thing. It could have to stop if God does not provide. Have you ever been there? Where you won't make it if God doesn't provide. So this was me 2 weeks ago. I signed the contract. I had no provision when I signed the contract. The very next day, the accounting department calls me and said, hey, Pastor Nicole, you know that company that you kind of coach some? Yeah, because I work with a secular company. They said they just mailed in a check for $20,000 to your ministry. And I said, I think there's a mistake. Don't cash it. So I called up the senior vice president. I'm like, hey, we got this $20,000 check. Oh my gosh, what's going on? We didn't do an event for you guys or anything. And she said, oh no, God spoke to me. Wow. Secular company. And told me that we were supposed to give this to you because you had something that you needed to do with it. And I said, let me tell you about my Jesus and what he's done for me. We are going to reach 100,000 more people every single week because the day after, not the day before, after I took the step of faith, do you see what God is wanting to do? He's saying, if this little girl who lived a third of her life on a gravel road can step out, can you imagine what God is gonna do with a qualified you? Somebody give him a shout of praise. And that's why I want to pray for you right now. If it's you that God is beckoning, take a step of faith. Would you stand up with me? And then I got that question again. I got that question for you. Is he really worthy of it all? Is he worthy of your faith? Is he worthy of your trust? Is he worthy of your heart? I don't want to ask that person to church. They might laugh at me. Is he worthy of putting your reputation on the line? Is he worthy? What is God telling you to do that you haven't done yet? Obedience is the blessing exchange. It says in Deuteronomy, if you obey my voice, all of these blessings will come into you. Obedience is the blessing exchange. What is God asking you to do by faith? If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand at all campuses, Weldon, RPC, Ferguson, Florissant, online. Father God, I just pray over each and every person within the sound of my voice right now, whether they're listening right now or they're listening on the replay. God, there is no distance in prayer, and this is what I know. You have unlocked something. You have moved something. You have done something in the spirit. We are taking a step of faith. We are going to another level. We're going to another level of trust. What we know is we will look back at this day and say, we did not stay there, because you've called us to another place, another space, another level, another influence. So God, as we raise our hands to heaven, we say we trust you, we are being obedient, and we are walking out this faith life that you have called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody, share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.